looking for something. A new way, a new understanding, a connection, some comfort. You've got questions, and Light on Living puts the spotlight on all the answers so you can shine. Lift and lighten the load of life's challenges and learn simple and easy ways to live a healthy, happy life. You'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you. You're invited to hear new, see different, and feel more as Lisa shines the light on living.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and here, as always, to give you reasons to feel better. And what better way to find ways to feel better? Through music. I posted this morning that, you know, there's always songs that I have found that just kind of, they just lift my mood, or they help me, bring me up from some kind of mood, or they just really complement the state. Maybe I'm in meditation, or I just want to dance around the house. But you know, music is just such this wonderful way of delivering a message, whether there's words or not. And so my guest today is an absolutely incredible artist. So I'm just going to bring her on and share. She's going to share about all these beautiful songs. But before that, I just want to share that Mercedes Valida is my guest. She is absolutely incredible. When I heard her music for the first time, I knew I wanted to share her with all of you, because there is something magical, something that opens your heart when you hear her voice and all of her wonderful musicians that she's partnered with along the way. But she's come out with a new album, and we're going to hear a few of those songs, and we're going to bring her on and hear the stories behind it. But first of all, just let me share with you that Mercedes Valida is a teacher and yogini originally from New York City, who is a dedicated practitioner of yoga, meditation, voice, and Buddhist philosophy. As a popular musician and curtain singer, she has toured the world giving concerts and artist workshops. On today's show, as you know, we are going to be listening to a few of these songs. She has done this album with Emmy-nominated music composer Klaus Hilbreck, and the name of the album is Sacred Chants to Tara. And we're going to learn about that too. I was so excited to, but I want to welcome Mercedes to the show.
Hello. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Your music is just stunning. It's stunning for my soul to hear.
Oh, thank you so much. Thanks a lot.
Oh, no, you're actually in studio now, and I want to let everybody know that, and that you've stepped out of recording and rehearsals just so that you can be a part of this with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm really excited. I'm excited about the album. I'm excited to talk to you.
Yes, thank you. So, you know what? We're going to be playing these songs. Now, some of them are we call them long, but they're not. I mean, I could listen to them forever, so that's fine. And some of them are shorter. But before we go to the first one, which is Om Namastari, can you just share with us what was your experience of singing this, creating this on it?
Yeah, so the impetus for the album was that I wanted to create a album that was specifically just dedicated to the chants and the prayers of Tara. So Tara has four different manifestations that we learned about in Buddhism, and they compare it to a good parent, that a good parent has four different modes. So there is a peaceful mode, right? Okay. There's a happy mode, like kind of like almost a party mode, and then there's a strong or powerful mode, and then the final mode is a wrathful mode. So they would say that that's the four stages of the teacher. A teacher knows when to be gentle, when to be kind, when to be nurturing, when to have a lot of fun with the students and make things fun for you, when to show their strength and be powerful, and then the most intense mode of like a parent is when they're angry. But the important thing that we learned is that every one of those modes is matched to the level of need in the situation. Like if a child is about to cross the street, you might get wrathful and grab them and tell them not to do that again.
Yes.
So all the different prayers that are featured on the album are highlighting the different aspects of this female goddess, Tara. So in the Buddhist tradition, Tara is the female enlightened version of a Buddha. And I thought it was particularly important to look at what is feminine energy, what is feminine power, what is female enlightenment in a tradition that has been very often featured as a patriarch. A lot of the teachers have been male that were in my life, and just with the times and growing up myself and being a woman, just asking myself that question, you know, where do I fit in Buddhism, and what is it to be a woman in Buddhism, and what is the path specifically for a woman in Buddhism? So I really wanted to do this album and dedicate it completely to the feminine divine. The first mantra that we're going to hear, which I believe is the first mantra on the album, is considered one of the more secret practices of Tara, which is the tantric aspect of Tara. So you could say that's the highest or the most intense mode of the parent or of the goddess. Hopefully we don't need to see that one that often. But I can't speak so much about the exact translation because it's a practice that's kept kind of quiet, and they say more whispered between students or disciples or angels coming to you in your sleep and giving you different kinds of prayers to say. But this mantra is really special to me, probably because it reflects some of my training in India on raga or sacred music. And there are notes in the Indian scale system that are very different than the Western scale system. Mm. A Western scale system works with all whole notes, like do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, right? Like this, yes. Straight, happy, major tones. And the Indian scale system is designed with an intention to evoke emotion and certain states of being from the listener. So when you learn the scale systems in India, there's a lot of half notes or komal notes, they call them, K-O-M-A-L, where there's an unfinished note. And it has this incredibly beautiful quality in the body when you hear it, is it produces often a sense of longing because you want the note to finish. So your heart reaches for the completion of the scale, which I think is just absolutely glorious. And that to me was on some level describes some of the more secret practices of Tantra and Buddhism, which relate to the inner body, relate to the inner channels, which, you know, practices of yoga asana were designed as tantric practices to help a human being reach higher states of love and compassion and open-heartedness. So I'll stop talking in just a second, but just the Indian scale system, for instance, might start sa re ga ma pa da ni sa. So the notes are not whole, they're half. Mm-hmm. And they kind of create a sense of haunting and longing. Yes. And longing is a very desirable emotion for a spiritual seeker. Longing for the divine, longing for God. And that's what this next song is for me. I worked with the composer, Klaus Hillebrecht, who's absolutely brilliant, and we have very different styles. So there was some tension in the composition of this, mainly because Klaus has this glorious, epic flavor that he brings to everything of building and crescendoing till you have this kind of holy army marching of instruments by the end of each of his songs, and I more was going for a bit of a stripped back, delicate, like I said, a little bit of a haunted sound. So I think you hear that there's a compromise between those two worlds in the song, and it's a really special song to me.
It is fair. Thank you so much for educating us on that. Because, you know, I love just an interesting thing you said about longing and the heart reaching for completion. Mm. And I don't usually use this word, but in my post this morning, I used the word yearning. And I went, oh, where's that word coming from? It really implies that. And actually, I love that you and Klaus have that not battle, but that difference of how can we make this work because we're aiming for different things. But I thought it was beautifully done, and you're right.
Yeah.
I can't wait. We're going to share this with everybody. It's Om Namastare, and it's just absolutely stunning, as you say, and just, yes, yearning and heart reaching. So we're going to play that for everybody right now. Thank you.
The best of holistic, spiritual, and conscious world. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Perfect way to get to know your partner, yourself, and love more deeply. Download and join today.
Mind connected to the heart, connected to the love, connected to the soul. I'm connected to you, connected to me.
The student asks the teacher, "How do I experience transformation?" The teacher replies, "When the student is ready to receive deeper answers, the student then asks, how do I know what deeper questions to ask?" And the teacher replies, "When the student decides to commit to a practice inviting transformation, level 2 questions will be revealed." Hi, I'm Tomas Garza, and as a teacher and host, I'm inviting listeners to enroll in the Mastery of Transformation by joining me on Decide to Transform, your bridge to level 2 answers. Tuesdays, 1 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
Welcome back, everyone, to Light on Living. I'm your host, Lisa Berry, and I have just the most beautiful songbird, I want to say, but even deeper than that, with us here, Mercedes Balida. And Mercedes, I know you're joining us here. I have this extreme question I'm dying to find out. I want to share with the listeners that you are originally from New York and had this decision, or I guess soul's choice, that you wanted to study Buddhism. And yes. I love that you rose that question about, like, as a woman, where do I fit in? And my brain goes to, oh my gosh, reading through your bio here, it says that you've traveled extensively throughout India. And I'm thinking, okay, wow, here you are traveling along as a woman, trying to find your place, and a singer at that, but you even spent a year in solitary silent retreat. And I have to ask how that was for you as a singer.
It's a bit of a, you drew out a lot of different images that are just rolling back in my mind of the past of traveling in India. But basically, just to clarify, I was not solid in for an entire year. There was a period of about 3 years where I was coming in and out of solitary retreat in the desert, and I was serving some other retreat centers and then going in for periods of 5-6 weeks of solitude, you know, out in the wilderness, pretty rural, with no, electricity or running water, kind of like in mud huts and stuff like that. And it was a really incredible time in my life because I had been in New York City, and I just decided I wanted to ask some of the deeper questions, in my early 20s and see what was going to come back if I threw those questions out to the world. And you know, a beautiful thing, you said, as a singer, what was it like? And I think what happened for me is I'm a creative person. I've been involved in theater and dance and arts my whole life. And I really removed myself from society. I removed myself from the world that I knew of of New York and went into these remote areas in Ladakh and in India and, you know, up into the mountains and areas in Canada and in North America. And I think what happened was in these deep retreats, in these periods when I was in silence, I gained a little bit of an ability to listen a little bit more deeply. And I think that there's a kind of silence in solitude that rises up from inside of you and can almost be loud at times, but it's a beautiful sound of quiet that almost feels like you're underwater. There's almost a pressure to the sound of the sound of silence, to avoid a cliche. But I think in those spaces, you start to hear more inside yourself. You definitely start, for me, because my mother was a singer and I came from a family of folk singers from West Virginia. You start to hear rhythms and songs, which are, I think, a little bit more delicate that you would possibly miss. You know, being out in nature was phenomenal, to hear the wind at night, to hear rain, to hear birds. And being so isolated, I had left dance and theater and a lot of other artistic forms, but music was something that was just inside of me. So I could be up in Ladakh at, you know, 1600 feet, you know, like in a temple where they do 12-year retreats and people around me are in for 12 years of solitude. And I had song. And the only thing I had with me in some of these retreats were these prayers. So I'm a singer. I've locked myself away and I've got these prayers and I started to write melodies. It was like the creative spirit in me had to do something. Yes. So I started rewriting a lot of these older melodies that I had heard in the temples, writing my own versions of them. Songs were just coming out of me. You know, we would wake up quite early in the morning before dawn. And there's a beautiful quote from a yogi from the 13th century. And he says, "You'll know that your yoga is working when you hear the singing inside of you." And in a lot of the ancient tantra practices from, there's a really beautiful book called His Holiness's, from His Holiness's Archives, about some of the sound practices that relate to yoga and to Buddhism and meditation. And your inner body, your inner channels, we believe are vibrating at a vibration that could produce a sound. You could actually hear it. If you were in a deep state, you would start to hear the singing of your own heart. I mean, to phrase it that way. And
yes,
I think that going into these retreats and then finding music was a really healing process for me, because I think that singing and song and chanting is a journey and a path towards evolution, because it's healing. There's so much memory and vibration and feelings and emotions and traumas and things that we carry around in our bodies. And sound is incredibly healing. Singing, you know, why do you sing when you fall in love? Because the heart chakra is opening, right? So the path of sound, for me, I couldn't escape it. The music came from inside of me, and also the music came from outside of me. And then my creative line, you know, almost like the thread that I was hanging on to for dear life, like as an artist, while I was going through this journey of, you know, through India and Ladakh, trying to figure out what's the meaning of life, was the music kept me connected, I think, to a part of myself that I never lost, that almost when I came up for air, you know, out of the ocean of my studies and practices and removing myself from the world, I still had this rope, which was the music, which literally pulled me back into the world. You know, I got a record deal and started singing and doing concerts, and I came out the other end, you know, with the music with me, which was a really beautiful gift. It's like from that time in my life, I still have these prayers from, you know, some of the darkest hours to the most, you know, glorious moments of me being out in the woods wondering, why am I here? You know, what am I doing? And And the prayers from that time are almost like, for lack of a better, like a token, almost like a piece of that time that I can carry with me.
You've shared so many words, so many visuals right now. And you simplified it to such a way that I don't think there would be a person on this planet who could not relate to that, because we all can. I could feel like my body's almost like vibrating, not shaking, but vibrating inside. And it's again being energized just thinking about that, very natural, simplistic from all timelines and just before anything. And just, you're right, that I love that you said, I feel like you just made me imagine that each one of my chakras has a song, and imagine them all singing together and then and carry them forward. As we're going to play the White Tara mantra next, and great. And you specifically mentioned healing in just that beautiful story shared. Is that what you would, is surrounding that healing?
Yeah, absolutely. So White Tara, in terms of the modes of a teacher or a parent that we were talking about earlier, this is mode number one. This is generosity, healing, specifically healing a White Tara. So I see this kind of as like the loving aspect of the mother in all of us, you know, male or female. We all have the energy of the nurturing, loving, compassionate, giving, generous Tara, right? And that's the White Tara mantra. So just total peace and tranquility.
Okay, well, we're going to play most of that song, not quite all of it, but we're going to share that with everybody right now. So everybody, please enjoy White Tara by Mercedes Balida.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That healing is just magical. There's just, it's magical.
I'm glad you like it. I'm glad you like it.
Oh my gosh. What has the response been? Like, is it pretty universal when people hear this in your concerts?
Well, I mean, the album's going to be coming out next month. But this mantra in particular was originally commissioned by the Garchin Institute, which is in Prescott, Arizona. There's a wonderful Buddhist monastery out there, and Garchin Rinpoche is the head of that monastery. And there's a wonderful filmmaker named Christine Lundberg who did a benefit film called For the Sake of All Beings. And Klaus was a composer who did the music for that film. And Christina put me in touch with him and said, I think this woman should sing. Will you guys make a White Tar mantra together? So that song has actually been featured in this movie. And yes, we've got a really beautiful, wonderful response from it, which was probably the reason that the whole album happened, was because there's a lot of wonderful Tar practitioners out there, and there's a lot of people who really love that goddess and those practices. So yeah, we got a great, great response, and everyone was very, very kind and encouraging for us to do this project, something bigger.
That is a perfect word, encouraging, because, you know, sometimes, you know, we can look at the world around us and think, gosh, there's just, it's not, some people might think it's just so full of hate and disconnect, but it is so encouraging to our hearts, to our creative being inside. And I love the name, that For the Sake of All Beings. That's a beautiful, that's a great title name, you know? So as we move, because I wish I could have like 5 hours with you, and you just have such a, even a beautiful speaking voice to hear.
Oh, you're sweet. Thank you.
Well, going into the next song, is it just called Him? Just Him?
Oh, right. I'm so glad you picked this one.
Probably
the shortest. This is Tara's Him, and it's probably the shortest song on the album, and Klaus really wrote and composed this, and this was it's really his creation, and I just had the job of putting words to it, to creating the song around it. So we kind of brainstormed together about what we were looking for in a song and what we wanted to happen, and this was going to be the modern Tara hymn, much like the artwork for the album. Rather than using a traditional Tibetan tonka, we found, you know, one of the greatest Tibetan tonka painters from Tibet to do the artwork for the album. But what he chose to do was a modern interpretation of what is the essence of the goddess Tara, and it's quite abstract and beautiful. You'll see it if it's featured online. But in the same way, we wanted to really create something that was new. And Klaus wrote this beautiful arrangement. And when I was studying Buddhism, one of my teachers knew that my upbringing was Roman Catholic and that I was quite a devout little Christian girl who used to wanted to be a nun and went to church all the time. And I went to high school in a convent. And so I had all this history with the Virgin Mary. And I went into a silent retreat for about 5 weeks out in the wilderness with nothing but like 11th century prayers to the Virgin Mary. So old Christian hymns of praise to the female goddess of the Christian tradition. And I wrote something called the Mary Sadhana, which was based on some of the secret teachings of Buddhism to the female divine, but I took the structure of that and I wrote praises to Mary because that was where my heart was at from when I was a child. So it was dear to me, and Klaus and I sat down with a lot of my notes from that retreat, which had been over a decade before. And we just pulled the most beautiful lines of the prayers. And then we put into the song, which we said, you know, what is Tara? Why not, you know, every aspect of the feminine divine, you know, God as a woman, enlightenment as female energy. Not that it is strictly female or male, but I think so often it is featured as a masculine component, you know, the father in the sky. And so this was just, you know, a little ode to the lady, you know, the Virgin Mary. And it also, obviously, we structured it to be part of this album. And my version of Tara coming from my background.
Well, it absolutely exudes goddessness, and so I'm happy to share this with everyone so they can all feel that goddess nurturing and love. So please, everybody, enjoy him.
Great. Thank you.
Beautiful than the moon.
Oh, thank you, everybody, for listening to that and joining with us. That was a Klaus creation that Mercedes was able to just, you guys partnered together and just brought that to such an extremely just gorgeous place and truly, yes, goddessy. And oh my gosh, it's just so beautiful. Now, I want to take this opportunity while I've got you just to share with everybody the album that is coming out, you said just a month, is Sacred Chants to Tara. And this is Mercedes Valida and Klaus Hillebrecht. And I want to make sure I say these right.
And, you got it. You got it.
And a huge, because we're going to listen to one more song, but as we close off, and I just want to share this last minute with you, because what would be something that you would love for this album to, not accomplish, because we don't want completion yet, but what would you love for this album to do to the world as it comes out?
There's a beautiful quote by Mirabai. And just for the sake of time, I won't quote the whole poem, but the last line is it's her musing on what is the path to God. Should I stand on one leg? Should I eat certain kinds of foods? What is really the path to the divine? And her conclusion at the end is, the heat of midnight tears is, the way to God. And I think that there's dark nights of the soul for all of us. And I think change is hard, just even evolving as a human, being honest with yourself, going through breakups, through relationships, growing, being able to take good criticism, looking at your own shortcomings, your disappointments, like just to be human is an incredible journey, an incredible struggle. And yet there are these pockets and these moments of beauty where we keep on with the quest of what is it to be alive and how can I be of service to others, and if it's just for a moment of kindness. And, when people come up to me and tell me that a song gave them some inspiration or some energy to get through something, or a lot of people have told me, at particularly hard times, they've played my music or they've played mantras in a house to fill it with light, knowing that the music was made with this intention of love. So if the music for me could just be a hug and encouragement to anyone that listens to it to just keep going on your path, and that there is love and there is meaning and there is a higher purpose, and it's just a matter of us, tuning in and listening and finding that voice that says, keep searching, keep longing, keep striving, and you will, have the answers. And don't give up. Don't give up.
Oh, well, that is certainly encouraging. Oh, my gosh. And if anything sounded awesome, it was like, yes, let music be the hug. Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And as I say, thank you so much to you, Mercedes, just for
sharing
this time.
Thank you for having me. It's been really fun.
And it has been so, and actually I've chosen the Tara Happy song to go out with because it was so much fun. We're going to play that as we go, but thank you so much. We are definitely going to be in touch, Mercedes, and just everybody just thanks you. I know this is such a gift, and to Klaus as well. Thank you so much. Beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me, and please look for it on White Swan Records. It's coming out, I believe, next month.
Absolutely, White Swan Records. Okay, everybody, please enjoy Tara Happy.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Om Tara. Om Tara. Om Tare Chu Tare Chure Soha. Om Tare Chu Tare Chure Soha. Om Tare Chu Tare Chure Soha. Om Tare Chu Tare Chure Soha.